Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show. I'm Dr. Mystery, your host here as always with my incredibly resourceful, I cannot live without her, sidekick, Donna Lee.
That's right. You cannot live without me. Dr. Donna, the co-host.
She is not a doctor. I have to reiterate that.
This is a men's
health show.
I have a piece of mail that comes to me. It says Donna McBride, MD.
My Lord. This is a men's health show. This show is brought to you by NAU Urology Specialists, the specialty urology clinic that I started in 2007, 15 years in the making. We treat all the issues between the nipples and the knees. We think we have a great holistic approach to your needs. So when it comes to your urologic needs, whether it be kidney stones or bladder leakage or dripping from dripping springs or wherever it is, we'd love to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. And you can reach out to us during the week. And you can even ask for me, 512-238-0762. Our website is armormenshealth.com. We're in Round Rock, North Austin, South Austin, and Dripping Springs, Texas.
Many of you may know that Donna Lee is a professional comedian. And of course, most of you are aware that Indians are amongst the most humorous of all ethnicities. And today, we are so honored to have the second funniest Indian
in Austin.
In all of Austin.
Hey, it's a contest.
Dr. Thiru Lakshman, thank you for joining us today, Dr. Lakshman.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to immediately protest the second place ranking.
You should.
It depends on who's the judge, right?
Well, I'll be the judge today.
Oh, my gosh. So my whole life has been pee holes, and his whole life is buttholes. And it has been an absolute strong desire of me to have you on the radio. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course, my pleasure. And we're also both doctors.
We are.
Right?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
Also that, too. It's almost like God gave us too much.
Yes, it's
oh
true.
Oh, my God.
It's so true.
Just the text string between you two has been a lot.
Yeah.
So here we go.
So, Dr. Lakshman, you work for Central Texas Colorectal Surgeons. You are butthole surgeons.
Oh.
Yes. The technical term is a proctologist, I think is the term you're looking for. But that's really one of many
things.
There
was a Seinfeld episode on this whole thing, wasn't
about
it?
About proctology. Yeah, the ass man. Yeah, I actually have an ass man license plate in my office.
I have no doubt.
That's true. We do work with buttholes, as you so eloquently put it, but we also cover basically all of the sort of lower GI tract healthcare from a surgical standpoint. So whether that's from buttholes, meaning like hemorrhoids and constipation and abscesses and things like that, to very complicated things like colon and rectal cancer and inflammatory bowel disease and ulcerative colitis and things like that. Uh-huh. We do major abdominal operations as well as lots of minor procedures and then a lot of day-to-day, even, you know, non-surgical care.
Now, what's really cool about what you do is you, even though you're dealing with large segments of bowel, you do a lot of robotics and laparoscopic surgery. One of the areas that you and I frequently kind of overlap work is going to be in a condition called diverticulitis. Maybe you could explain to our listeners, what is diverticulitis and what can it do? Like, what kind of symptoms do people have when they get it?
It's a great topic to discuss, and it's really quite common, actually, particularly here in the United States, our sort of Western meat and potatoes diet. We really see a lot of diverticulitis. To know about diverticulitis, you have to know about diverticulosis or diverticular disease. And basically what that is in our large intestine, also known as the colon, you can develop these little pockets, almost like weakenings in the wall of the colon itself. The colon is just a big, flexible tube, our intestine, that basically reabsorbs water and creates solid waste from liquid waste, and then we poop it out, essentially. With diverticular disease, you develop these little pockets or weakenings in the bowel. And now, many people have those. If I took 100 Americans and over the age of 50 and I did a scope or a scan, we'd see diverticulosis. Diverticulitis is
And these are different than polyps, even though
that's
in our
exactly
brain
right.
We think of it as a something.
That's
it's
right.
Different than a polyp.
I would actually say if you want to think about it conceptually, a polyp is like a growth on the inner lining of the colon. A diverticulum is like a little pocket. It's almost like popping out the other direction. Right?
Is one more dangerous than the other?
They're two very different sort of disease processes. A polyp, which is an abnormal growth in the lining of the colon, can develop into a cancer.
Okay.
And so when we talk about colorectal cancer screening and colonoscopies, the primary reason is we're looking for polyps because polyps can develop into cancer. Diverticular disease, diverticulosis, is these little pockets, which also we can find during a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
But the risk there is if you get a little perforation or a localized inflammation of one of these pockets, then you can get diverticulitis. Medical terms, you hear a lot of itis, right? Prostatitis, gastritis. Itis is basically Latin for inflammation, right? So diverticulitis is an inflammation or a localized infection of these little pockets.
Are they more likely to occur with certain dietary things, or can you get a peanut stuck in one of these things?
Yeah, that's a common, I don't know, we'd call it a folklore or a wives' tale.
Because you can't get a peanut all the way through your mouth. Are you not chewing the peanut? Like, how do you get
I have done many a scope and suctioned out many a peanut, my friend. Many a pumpkin seed, peanuts.
I think
for real?
Yeah.
Are people not chewing?
I guess not. I guess it's so delicious that they have to just scarf
it. I'm taking that tidbit
down.
And we're making a commercial out of what you just said.
Yeah,
that
right.
Little snippet.
So, yes, you know, there's this theory that, well, if you have these pockets in the colon, if you get little nuts or seeds in there, that'll block off that pocket and it can cause it. But really, that hasn't really been proven to a great effect that that's actually true. But what we know is, to your question, it is very specifically diet-related. So a low-fiber, high-fat, high-red meat diet is directly correlated with more incidence of diverticulitis, and for that matter, colon cancer as well, too.
If you get one episode of diverticulitis, if somebody has it, tell me how they're going to present.
Great question. In general, and it varies a lot from person to person, but in general, somebody who has diverticulitis will have abdominal pain, usually left-sided, sort of left lower quadrant abdominal pain. The reason being is the most common area we get diverticulitis is in the descending or left colon or the sigmoid colon, right? The theory being is that's where more solid stool is and that's putting more pressure on the colon. So left-sided pain, crampy, discomfort. A lot of people will have either a low grade or even a high fever. Some people will have changes in their actual bowel habits, meaning more constipated or difficulty going. A lot of people don't have any changes, but the most common symptom is pain and then some signs of an infection.
And sometimes they'll go to the hospital, right?
Yeah, for sure. So if the pain is significant enough, they'll go to the hospital. Like most things, when you walk into the emergency room, they're going to get a
scan on
a CT scan. That's right.
And God forbid somebody put their hands on
you. Yeah, that's right. It'll, you know, several thousand dollars of lab work and a several thousand dollar CT scan, and then you'll see the doctor. So they'll do a CT scan, and what you'll see is you'll see thickening and inflammation of that colon. So it'll confirm it then.
If you're inflamed like that, that is not the time to do a colonoscopy, right?
That's exactly right. Not the time to do a colonoscopy, and if you can help it, not the time to do any sort of surgery either, too, because you're at risk with a colonoscopy of causing a perforation of the colon. Because to do a colonoscopy, we actually insufflate, fill the colon with air or CO2 so that it opens up the colon so we can get a good look within it.
And you don't want to pop that really
you don't
inflamed
want to pop
bubble.
That.
And so if you are looking at the treatment for that is traditionally going to be something like antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, and bowel rest, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So this has been sort of going back and forth, and the paradigm has shifted back and forth. You know, 50 years ago, if you came into the hospital with a significant episode of diverticulitis, they'd take you to the operating room, they'd remove that section of your colon, and they would most likely give you a colostomy bag, a temporary diversion. Yeah. Nowadays, the great majority of diverticulitis, particularly your first episode, will be treated conservatively. And so that means, you know, dietary rest, you know, either not eating anything or very little, no solid food, just liquids, and then generally a course of antibiotics. And in the great majority of cases, that will cool it down and solve that episode.
Now, if somebody keeps getting diverticulitis, you'll remove that part of the colon, right?
That's right. So the indications for surgery is obviously if it's an emergency, right, the colon busts open
busts
and it's
open.
Perforated and there's septic and then you
there's
then
poop everywhere.
That's
yes.
right. So that we don't want that. That's bad. So that's obviously an indication. But then recurrent, repeated episodes, increasing frequency, increasing severity of the episodes, and then where sometimes you and I our paths cross is if you develop a certain complication related to the diverticulitis, specifically where the colon that's become inflamed or infected get stuck to another adjacent structure.
And it can get stuck to the vagina, to the uterus,
to the
bladder in our case. What
that's
else
right.
can it get stuck to? Can it get stuck to other parts of bowel?
It can get stuck to another piece of the colon that's adjacent, another piece of small intestine that may be down in there. The two most common areas are usually the bladder, particularly in men, and then in the sort of top or the cuff of the vagina in women.
And so when this happens, if you have one episode of diverticulitis, are you like for sure destined to have that part of your colon removed, or can you make those dietary and lifestyle changes to keep that from happening again?
No, actually, the majority of people will have just one episode and not require surgery. So with that first episode, if they find it out, they do the scans, they do a follow-up colonoscopy when things have cooled down and they prove it is indeed diverticular disease. The treatment is a high-fiber diet, really. So it's just lifestyle changes.
So if you have one episode of diverticulitis, you should eat high meat diets, no fiber, so that way we can operate on them, right?
No, that's that is incorrect.
Is that the opposite?
That's the opposite.
Oh, yes, man. Yeah.
That's my whole diet.
I know. That's what you've been telling yourself.
Because so many of our patients think that we're trying to keep them sick so we can operate on them again
right.
and again.
Right, yes.
And so now I want you patients to understand how ridiculous that sounds.
Right.
We're telling
I suppose
you,
if you're looking to increase your medical practice, you can then suggest right. somebody to do that.
Try the Sunny Ministry Thiru Lakshman diet for diverticulitis.
That's right.
It's
yeah.
nothing but Atkins.
100% guaranteed diverticular disease or your money back.
Nothing but pumpkin seeds and meat.
That's right. Well, you can smoke and drink.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this first segment. We're going to take a small break and come back. I have Dr. Thiru Lakshman with Central Texas Colorectal Surgeons with us. This is Dr. Mystery, your host, board-certified urologist, joined by my co-host, Donna Lee. A lot of our patients and listeners will call us and ask for Donna in particular. She will be happy to talk to you if you call our office, get a free shirt, make sure your questions are answered. Mm-hmm. We love answering your questions. The show is brought to you by NAU Urology Specialist, the urology clinic that I started in 2007.
Old man walking.
Old man walking. I'm mid-career, they say.
Are you?
Yeah.
Midlife crisis.
That's right. The garage definitely looks like midlife crisis right now. Once again, we're joined by one of my really good friends in town here in Austin, Dr. Thiru Lakshman with Central Texas Colorectal Surgeons. Part of what makes our job so interesting is that the kinds of organs that we deal with are so like unappealing to talk about at parties.
That's very true.
But somehow we managed to do it.
It's
you
true.
Know, like, it's really amazing.
It's amazing. I've never seen anybody have the skill like you do to bring up penises in normal everyday conversation
is,
as well as
it,
you
it,
do.
It's yeah. really, okay. It's really a gift and
it's
a curse.
A gift.
You know, as right. a gift, it's a gift and a curse.
Just a curse.
Yeah. Although I tell patients that I'm always the guy that when they see me in the grocery store, they all turn around and walk the other direction. No one else is like, "Hey, there's my
hey,
hemorrhoid
there's
doctor.
My hemorrhoid doctor.
Honey, come meet the guy who disimpacted me."
So you know.
That could go so many different ways.
Yes. So there's, it's interesting, you know, with women and vaginal issues, men and penile issues, and everybody and butthole issues, we just know that something's wrong, right? We can't sit right. It just doesn't feel right. What are all the things that cause us pain in our butthole?
Oh, gosh. How much time do you have?
You have 11 minutes.
And go. I think there's lots of things, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions about it, and then sort of like what we were joking about earlier is that people don't want to talk about it, right? Because it's embarrassing. And fact of the matter is things like hemorrhoids or rectal pain, anal pain, constipation affects the great majority of our population. So
we see people complaining of anal fissures and things of that nature. What are they talking about and what causes
it? It's a great question. So just to level set, right? A hemorrhoid is something that, first of all, we all have. Everybody with normal anatomy has hemorrhoids.
Two on the right, one on the left.
That's correct. That's right. Yeah, three sort of anatomic columns of hemorrhoidal tissue, and they're basically, I describe them as like varicose veins of the anal canal, and they line the distal part of the lowest part of our colon or rectum, right near the anal opening, and they provide actually some support and cushioning and blood supply. But with straining, with pushing, with hard bowel movements, with heavy, strenuous lifting like you do in the gym every day, Sonny, you can increase the blood flow to that area, and it can cause sort of engorgement and swelling of those hemorrhoids, and that can cause pain, bleeding, and difficulty with bowel movements. And
that's
hemorrhoidal disease.
That's why all those meatheads have to wear real baggy pants, because there's a big hemorrhoid sticking out.
Huge hemorrhoids hanging out. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So that's hemorrhoidal disease, right? And then there's lots of sort of delineations of it. Internal hemorrhoids, external hemorrhoids, a thrombosed hemorrhoid, which is like a blood clot on the outside that stretches the skin, which can be very painful. And the most common symptom is swelling and bleeding with bowel movements. A fissure is a completely different thing, but a lot of times it gets confused for hemorrhoids or hemorrhoidal disease. A fissure is a cut in the sphincter muscle, right? So if your anal canal, that sort of opening right there at the bottom, has a sphincter muscle complex, that's what keeps you from, pooping your pants and helps you to have a normal bowel movement. That sphincter muscle complex sometimes can be very tight, and sometimes with a difficult, hard bowel movement, you can actually cause a tear in it. And that's what a fissure is.
Well, those fissures come up overnight, like they come up pretty quickly?
They will come up almost instantaneously. In fact, I'll see patients, and the classic sort of description is they can tell you the exact moment.
Yeah.
Oh, Doc, I was out partying on 6th Street.
What?
And I was super dehydrated the next day, and I sat on the toilet, and
all of a sudden,
I felt,
oh,
and they,
no.
and they, it's almost to a T, they'll say, it just felt like something ripped.
Ugh.
And then it's severe, exquisite, excruciating
pain. I didn't think that's how it was going to start when you said they partied on 6th Street. I thought something else was going to happen. No, I blacked out. Next thing you know, it happened at 602.
Right. Well, that's a whole different radio show, I think.
No, that is this radio show.
Oh, right.
That
is exactly this radio show.
So an anal fissure occurs like almost instantaneously. Does it need to be repaired surgically?
We always try to manage it conservatively at first. And so I'm describing the classic onset, you know, of it. Now, there are some sort of chronic anal fissures, and there's other disease processes that can lead to you getting fissures as well, too, both superficial and deep fissures. But a classic anal fissure is brought on by hard stool, constipation, and straining. It's a cut. We generally always try to treat it conservatively at first, and the majority of cases can be managed conservatively. There's some special ointments that you can use, really working on your, what we call your bowel regimen, right, to make sure your bowel movements are easy to pass and they're more regular and you're not straining and pushing and sort of really working on that. And then about, you know, 60 to 75% of the time, those cure with conservative treatment. And if they do not, then there are surgical options that are actually really quite successful, 95 to 99% successful.
Is that where you put the seton in there?
No, that's something different. That's for a fistula.
Okay.
A fistula is an abnormal connection between the sort of outside of the anal canal and inside the anal canal. And that usually forms once you've had an abscess, which is an infection. So imagine having pus pocket or like a boil, but within the, you know, the sort of perianal tissue, sort of in between the inside and the outside. And then what happens is it'll drain both internally and externally, and then you form an abnormal connection.
And then if that abnormal connection does not heal on its own, then sometimes you need surgery to cut into it.
That's correct.
What's the surgery for a fissure?
The surgery for a fissure is something called a lateral internal sphincterotomy. And basically what you're doing is it's a little counterintuitive because you have a cut in the muscle already, but you're making a relaxing incision sort of adjacent to where the actual fissure is. And what that does is it relaxes the muscle and increases the blood flow. And that's what gets it to heal.
On physical exam, can you actually see a cut in the sphincter?
You can. If you can get them in the appropriate position, it sometimes can be difficult to see because it's very painful. But
and
one
it
of
takes
the,
2 glasses of wine.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. 2 glasses of wine and some lube. Yeah, that's right. Just another Saturday night at Sonny's house. If they can tolerate it, you can just sort of, essentially, for lack of a better word, you spread the butt cheeks and you can sort of, not only can you, you can sometimes see it, but more than that is it elicits exquisite pain.
You know, in my mind, as I take care of a lot of people with functional pelvic floor issues, I feel like that once you get a fissure once you tear it once, you're more likely to tear it again. Is that the right way to think about it or not?
I think a better way to think of it is that if you get a fissure once and you don't sort of definitively take care of it, that same fissure sort of reopens again and again. Mm. It's not like you could get a separate fissure in another location. Usually the most common location is sort of right at the, you know, if we're looking at the anus like a clock face, it's like right at the 12 o'clock position because that's the most tone with the least blood flow.
In urology, we see a lot of pelvic floor sphincteric abnormalities in patients who tend to carry a lot of anxiety or tend to be kind of tight-assed and high-strung.
Yes.
Would you say this happens with fissures too?
Yes, it happens with fissures and just sort of anorectal issues in general, in the sense that stress, high anxiety can lead to, just like you're describing, almost like pelvic floor spasm, anal spasms, and patients have a hard time going, and then they strain and push more, and then that leads to hemorrhoids and fissures and things like that, too.
When should somebody seek out the care of a colorectal surgeon versus a gastroenterologist versus something
PCP.
Else to, for anal pain?
Yeah, so that's it's a good point. So I think it's always, you know, it's easiest to start first with your primary care physician. I would say that any significant anal pain or bleeding should not be sort of dismissed, because obviously what we're really concerned about is potentially there being like a cancer or a tumor or something.
Because that can happen, right? Anal and rectal cancer can certainly present in this fashion.
For sure. In fact, the majority of the rectal and colon cancer cases I see is patients have been sort of managing with it for months because they were told, oh, you're bleeding because it's just quote-unquote hemorrhoids, right?
So. And that's the real danger of today's, you know, medical environment is that everybody's so busy and overworked, and so many times a regular complaint really isn't something super serious. So it's really incumbent upon you as an individual or you as a patient to kind of take control of your care. So if you have recurrent bleeding, if your pain's not getting better, I mean, you need to seek out the right kind of care.
Absolutely, yeah. Start with your primary care physician. If some initial evaluation and treatment doesn't get it better, then you got to bump it up, you know, and go see a specialist. So issues like hemorrhoids and fissures, you know, acute pain, bleeding, things like that. A colorectal surgeon, this is what we sort of manage, and we can sort of cut to the chase in the sense that we can manage it conservatively, but then also it doesn't need to be referred to somebody else for the surgical treatment. We can go directly to that.
So if somebody's trying to bump it up to you, Dr. Laxman, how do they get a hold of you?
So my office number is 512-220-7002. Our website is centraltexascrs.com. We have offices in North, Central, and South Office with multiple board-certified colorectal surgeons. We sort of cover the whole city from, you know, south of Austin, Kyle area, all the way up to Round Rock and points north. Everybody's board-certified. We all do from minor to major cases. So whether it's a fissure or hemorrhoids or something big like a colon cancer or rectal cancer that requires surgery, minimally invasive surgical techniques, we can handle all of that. We're sort of the largest, most experienced group of colorectal surgeons in the area.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Donna, how do people get questions to him or get questions to us?
That's right. You can reach out to us at armormenshealth.com, and our number is 512-238-0762.
The Armour Men's Health Show will be right back. To submit a question for Dr. Mystery, visit armormenshealth.com.